Whatever God did, God did. There is healing today. There are miracles today. There are prophets today. There's tongues today. God gives gifts. And as we talked about last week about your calling, when God gives you a calling, it is without repentance, meaning you can't run from it. Remember last week I told you that, you know, God called me to be a pastor at this time in my life. And when I get to heaven, God's not going to ask me, well, how was your business or how was this or how was that? He's going to ask me, what'd you do with the calling on your life? That's that. And so we talked about calling last week, remember? So, you know, he puts callings on people. So there are a handful of people in the earth today that I consider to be legitimate prophets of God. I'm not going to give you any names. Let me give you an example. A year and a half ago, if I stood up here and I said, before the end of President Trump's first, now he had already appointed two Supreme Court justices, right, at that point. Before the end of his first term is over, he will appoint a woman who will be a woman of faith and will be a woman of compassion. And I said that a year and a half ago. And now let's say we're within 3 months of his first term ending. And you heard that prophet say that. What's going on in your head? They missed that. Well, that prophet did prophesy that. And right before his term ended, what happened? There was a woman. She's a beautiful, compassionate lady, and she is strong in her. She's Catholic, but she's not your typical Catholic. She is strong in her faith. That's what prophets do. They prophesy the future. And so that's why when we read Isaiah and we read Daniel and we read the prophets of old, you know, when John was on the island of Patmos and he was writing Revelation, Revelation is nothing more than a prophecy of the future, right? Mm-hmm. Telling us what's going to happen. Now, how many things in Revelation? Yeah, now, you got to remember, this guy lived 2,000 years ago. Were there flying machines 2,000 years ago? Were there so many nations on the earth? Were there billions of people? He talks about all of these things. He talks about how during World War II, that Israel would almost be annihilated through the Holocaust. All these things were predicted 1900 years before they happened. That's what a prophet does. Are you with me? Okay. So we've had a very interesting last couple of months. Let's read. It's on the screen. It's on the wall. It's in your notes. Let's read Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite scriptures, because before we get into this, you need to understand where God stands towards you. So let's just read this together. I'm going to start. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. Say that again. I'm just going to say it. Repeat it for me. God plans hope and a future for my life. That is what he says. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, with that being said, some of the verses I'm going to recover in this part of my message, which is kind of a recap of what's going on in these times that we live in these last few weeks. I did the last 2 weeks. And the reason I'm doing that is I need you to get these scriptures into your spirit, man. Because we're in a time that's going to be challenging. And I need these things down inside of you. Because we need to know how to handle the world and the world that we live in today. We are now living in a world where any voice that does not agree with the left's liberal voice, they want to try to silence. They're pulling anyone that doesn't agree with their communist. Yes, communists. You say, no, Rocky, they're talking about socialism. Man, 3 weeks ago, they passed socialism. And they went straight from socialism to communism. What's the difference? The difference is, in socialism, Britain is a socialist country. You go there, you have freedom of speech. You can say what you want. It doesn't matter. The government's going to do what they want because the government owns everything and does everything. But you can say what you want to say pretty much. You can march down the street if you get a permit. I mean, you can do a lot of things. The voices of the opposition, which is exactly how they brought about pulling out of the European Union. Okay? But they're a socialist country. A communist country like China, Cuba, North Korea, you have no voice. If you say anything against the state, then you are some terrible person or they will kill you. And that's exactly how Hitler came into power. The way Hitler came into power was he started indoctrinating the youth. He started telling them that anybody that says anything other than what we're saying is the enemy. Burned the books, tried to change history, and had to have a scapegoat, if you will, and he picked the Jews. Okay? So we have gone from freedom to we want socialism to now they're practicing or they're trying to practice communism by shutting up every voice except their voice. You know, they have taken tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people off of Twitter, off of Facebook, off of Amazon. You know, they have said that they're trying to, there's it's called the Equal Time Act. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But it's a law that if it ever gets passed, it says that if a radio station, let's say, has conservative talk radio for an hour, even though that's paid for, you have to give the other voice an hour for free. Well, that'll basically bankrupt every conservative radio and TV station because you can't do that. All right? So they want Fox News off the air. They want Newsmax off the air. They want conservative talk radio off the air. Pastor David asked me 2 weeks ago if I'd given any thought to what kind of platform we would go to when and if Facebook and YouTube cut us off and no longer allow us to broadcast what we broadcast. And don't think that could never happen, because it wouldn't surprise me if it happened any day. Okay? So just know that. That's the world we live in today. That is the America we are in today. And it used to be that the liberal left wanted equality for their sin, which is, when I talk about sin, I'm talking about, you know, transgenderism, homosexuality, abortion, all of these things. I'm not calling them sin. The Bible calls them sin. So therefore, all I'm doing is quoting God. God calls them sin. See, that right there would get me taken off the air, because I'm just repeating what God said. Not even my opinion, although my opinion lines up with what God said. But so that's where we are. So he's like, well, what's going to happen when that happens? Well, we'll figure that out. But they don't want their sin to be equal. They want you to shut up. And if you say anything contradictory to the state line, then you are this phobia or that phobia, you're this terrible person, and they will try to intimidate you and shut you up. But you need to understand, I will not be shut up. And if you all leave me and go somewhere else because I'm too strong, well, God bless you. I love you, but I will not shut up. That's right. Just understand that. That's right. I'm not being quiet, and I'm not shutting up. Amen. And so there are prophets, and usually the Lord has the prophets of God, they have assignments, and they do different things. Just like, you know, I have an assignment to be a pastor over this church and be this certain type. You know, every church is not going to be the same. I mean, you know, a church can be equal in the way they teach and the way and have a different culture about it. Does that make sense? Okay. So we have different assignments. Well, prophets have different assignments. Like maybe this prophet, you know, really his or her gift is to talk about politics in America or whatever. And maybe this prophet is to talk about, you know, what's going on in Europe, or to pull down strongholds. Or maybe this prophet is, and so they all have different assignments. Thank you. Good word. They have different assignments that God has them on. Does that make sense? I have never in my lifetime seen all who I consider to be the legitimate or the real prophets of God all saying the same thing. I've never seen that happen before. And what they are all saying, and trust me, I mean, in my view, there's only about 6 or 8 people on this planet that, maybe more, I just don't know about them, but that I know about, maybe 6 or 8 people on this planet that I consider to be true or real prophets. And how do you judge whether they're a real prophet? Well, look at their life, look at their ministry, look at their track record. Is what they say, does it come to pass on a regular basis? And we're all going to miss it once in a while. But I mean, you know, they're 9 out of 10 accurate. That's how I measure who a prophet of God is. And so there are about 6 or 8 people that, to me, measure up to that test. And so with everything going on in America, I will believe and I will stand with the prophets. Because you'll remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about, because right now, these prophets that are saying what they're saying, oh my goodness, they are just getting devoured on social media. I mean, the vileness that is coming at them, it is just unbelievable how vile people are. You know, when the right disagrees, we get mad and we say, oh, you're a jerk. When the left disagrees, I mean, they just get vile. And I just, you know, what these prophets are being called, and you know, you'd have to really have a conviction about what you're saying to stand where they're standing right now. And so the Bible says, touch not the Lord's anointing, and we read that verse the first week we did, it's 2 weeks ago, and do my prophets no harm. So if you disagree with me, okay, that's all right. Just pray for me. Or don't, would be just fine too. But don't touch the Lord's anointed. And if when you hear one of these prophets saying what they're saying and you disagree with it, fine. Pray for them, or don't, which they would probably prefer. But do not bash the prophets. God is very clear. Do not touch the Lord's anointed and do my prophets no harm. Okay? So we're all on the same page. Okay, so I believe, and I'm standing with the prophets who are telling us that God still has this thing, and that you know, we are to a point where we need to be speaking what God says, we need to be quoting the Word of God, we need to stay in faith, and we need to watch what happens. So this week, Joe Biden became president. But every one of these men and women are saying that he is illegitimate. Now time will tell. They're saying we have two presidents, the illegitimate one, Joe Biden, and the legitimate one, Donald Trump. Now, again, in my lifetime, I have never seen all the prophets of God come together saying the same thing. This is an unprecedented event in many ways, but spiritually as well. And assuming what they say comes to pass, then we're going to see many, many people that feel like they are above the law go to jail. And we'll see all of the lies and the conspiracy and the treachery exposed. So I've read this the last 2 weeks. I'm going to read it today. It's Isaiah 59, 15 through 18. Yes, truth is gone. And anyone who renounces evil is attacked. You go out there and you try to talk about the unborn. You try to talk about homosexuality. You try to talk about all of these things that are going on in the world that within just a matter from Wednesday to today, Joe Biden has signed all these executive orders to kill all of these things that Trump did that protected life, that just did all of these things. He's just undoing everything as fast as he can. Now, if I go out and say this, which I just did, anyone who renounces evil is attacked. The Lord looked and was displeased to find there was no justice. He was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So he himself stepped in to save them with his strong arm, and his justice sustained them. He put on righteousness as his body armor, and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe vengeance, thank you, and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. You'd think after 3 weeks I'd have that word. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds. His fury will fall on his foes. He will pay them back even to the ends of the earth. So this week, Joe Biden signed an executive order sending millions and millions of your tax dollars to third world countries to pay for abortions. Now, that started in the Obama industry. Trump killed it almost immediately and stopped it. You know, so if you don't want a baby in Africa, don't do what you do to get pregnant. But now, again, back to the Obama days and back now under Biden, if you're in Africa, you're pregnant, America will pay for your abortion. And I can go on and on. The point is, we live in perilous times. And the truth has tried to be shut up every way it can. And I said this last week. President Trump, you know, there's a whole lot of things about him that I wish he did different. You know, I wish he could talk softer. You know, y'all think I'm blunt. You know, I'm like first grade compared to him. And so, you know, it's just, there are things I wish were different about the man. But as good as he was to the church and as good as he was to Israel over these past 4 years, God is not going to let America down. Because you have no idea. I have some idea because of the position I stand in here. You have no idea how much restrictions he took off the church. Not using the IRS to be weaponized to keep churches in order or they'll lose their tax deductible status. Oh, did I mention that's already gone after 4 days? Yeah, he already took that away too. The Abraham Accords. You know, there is no way anybody on this planet ever thought that these Muslim nations would sign a peace treaty with Israel that allowed not just for peace, but also for educational exchange, commerce, and tourism. And so all these countries were signing on board to the Abraham Accords. You think God's going to ignore that? You think God's going to ignore him moving that? You realize we passed the law to move the embassy in Israel to Jerusalem back in the 80s. But not one president had the guts to do it. And so God's not going to forget all this. He's just not going to forget it. And so, you know, he's just not going to. And God's not done, and he will not stand by and watch hell have its way in this country. Now, you need to also understand, I stand in this pulpit and I say what I'm saying. You got to understand, there's a church over there somewhere where that preacher's standing up saying, you know, well, the New York Slimes, that's New York Times, the New York Slimes, yesterday, they wrote this beautiful article about Joe Biden and how he's the most religious president we've had in over 50 years. Yeah. Isn't that sweet? Satanism. The point is, you have pastors in churches that don't care about truth, and they don't care about the unborn, and they don't care about America, and they don't care about the Constitution, and they don't care about what our children are taught, and they don't care about this, and they don't care about that. All they care about is the size of their crowd and the money that comes into the offering. Let's just be honest about it. And I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. You know, if I end up one day being the only person, well, I know my family will be here, but, you know, God gives us all assignments. And I have one as well. And I will not apologize for it. But I'm telling you, his timetable is not our timetable, but the time is coming. And I'm telling you that the shakeout has begun and people's true colors are coming forth. We're seeing that every day. And when God is finished exposing the fakers and the liars, then he's going to move in a way that hasn't been seen in my lifetime. Remember, in these days, though, now here's the thing I want to talk about. We have to walk in love and we have to stay out of strife. I have a lady that works in my office. She's older than I am. And somebody called in my office on Tuesday. And on Tuesdays, I'm preparing my messages and stuff. And this person was just bashing me. And it wasn't even a customer. It was a friend of a customer. And so this person's just bashing me. And she's trying to defend me. So on Wednesday, when I got back into her office, I told her, I said, you never have to defend me. Don't defend me. So if you have a liberal friend that loves Biden, loves Pelosi, see, here's the thing about Pelosi you have to understand. Nobody can be that evil and that vile and be a person. She is a person that is demonically, I'm not saying she's demon-possessed, she's demonically influenced to believe and propagate all of these things that she propagates about, you know, America and about the unborn and about all the stuff that she just spews out of her mouth every day. She is not the problem. What drives her is the problem. So do not get in strife with these people, because strife will take your faith down. Strife will pull your joy down. So do not get in strife with, it takes two people to argue. Don't. God's got this. He's going to take care of this. He does not need your help other than confessing and saying the right things and sending the right words into the earth today. But we have to walk in love towards people we disagree with. And these people, like I said, they're deceived. The leaders on the left, the person is really not our enemy. They are demonically influenced and therefore they are evil. But and when this is all exposed, I believe, if you listen to the prophets, that they will fall and they're going to go to jail. But the spirit that drives them and dominates them is what we have to deal with, not them. Do you understand? Which takes me back to another verse I've read the last 2 weeks, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 out of the Passion. It says, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods with a little g and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Verse 13. Because of this, you must wear all of the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer. Now look at the last part of that sentence. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So this is not a time to shrink back. This is not a time to play like you're a Christian. This is a time to be the church. Be around people. You need to be in church. You need to be in church. Those of you watching, get your lazy self up and get yourself to church. I love you. That's the only reason I'm talking to you like that. Stop playing and get serious. You need to be here or wherever it is you go if you don't live here. You need to be in church. You need to be around people of like faith.
Amen.
This is not a time where when the only people you're ever around is those people at work that are so negative and so bad and so down and talk so crummy. And you can't spare 2 hours on Sunday to come to church and be around people of like faith. This is not a time to be one of those little Missy Mouse Christians. You got to get in church, people.
Amen.
Get yourself back to church. Get yourself back in the Word of God.
Amen.
Build yourself up. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now with all that being said, how are we supposed to do this today? Finally, page one, number one of your insert. Let's get to the real message. Joel 3:9. Proclaim this among the nations. prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. In this scripture, Joel's telling the mighty men and women of God, the great warriors who had gone to sleep, to wake up and fight. That verse astonished me the first time I read it. I was greatly impressed that we cannot play church anymore. This is the day of a great people, and that people is called the body of Christ. This is the hour for the church. This is the hour for the mighty warriors of God to wake up. Number two, have you ever been totally exhausted? You know, you lay down, you fall asleep, maybe it's been an hour. And somebody comes along and says, hey, you got to get up because you got this to do or that to do, whatever, you're going to be late. And you hadn't slept but a short time, and it feels like you've been asleep for a month. Now, when that happens and I first wake up and my feet hit the floor, I'm of no use to anybody. When I put my feet on the floor, sometimes I have no idea where I am. I don't know what time it is. Sometimes I don't even know what day it is. Anybody ever done that? But I'm still awake, right? And this is exactly where a lot of the body of Christ is right now, spiritually. One of the admirals of the Japanese Navy in World War II, before they bombed Pearl Harbor, he had been educated in the United States. And he said to the group of people around the war in the war room there, he said, if we do this, I'm afraid we're going to wake a sleeping giant. And I believe that's exactly what's going on in the spirit world right now. They are awaking a sleeping giant. And so I want you to know that the scales are going to come off of the Christian's eyes. We're going to see exactly what God is doing. We're going to find out what His strategies are. We're going to be sensitive to the Spirit. We're going to be so alive that the devil is going to wish he had never attacked us. Now, what we've got to do is get the sleepy out of our eyes. We've got to clear our minds. We've got to keep hearing the instructions of the Holy Spirit. We've got to keep flowing with God. And as we keep doing these things, we're going to see what God sees. We're going to have the mind of God. We're going to think like Him, talk like Him, fight like Him, and win like Him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the prophet Joel continued with something very powerful in Joel 2:1. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. You better know that they're trembling, because these people aren't stupid. They're foolish, but they're not stupid. And you got to know that they know all of this stuff is just right, the teetering of falling in on top of them. And we're going to know, and they're going to know. So he starts off with the command to blow the trumpet. Have you ever noticed that the term blow the trumpet happens a lot in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament? There are many types of different trumpets mentioned in the Bible, like the Jubilee trumpet, it's for freedom or redemption. The ram's horn signifies covenant. But the trumpet mentioned in Joel, however, is a trumpet for battle. It's a battle cry. Joel is saying, get ready for an all-out war like you've never seen before. I don't know about you, I love old westerns. You know, John Wayne and these guys, man, you know, I love old westerns. They don't make westerns anymore. And of course, if they did, they'd probably be so perverted you couldn't go see them. But I love the old westerns. And if you look at the old westerns, particularly when they had the U.S. Cavalry, you know, the guys in blue riding their horses, you know, of course they didn't look like they were a ragtag bunch of, but you know, they make camp. They have all their tents up, right? And the Indians do a surprise attack. What happens? The bugler starts blowing the horn. And once the people in the tent hear that series of notes, you see them running out, pulling their suspenders up, grabbing their rifles, and getting ready for a battle. Well, God's blowing a trumpet today. He's calling us to prepare for war. Christianity is not about fun, although it's a lot of fun, but it is not about fun and about games. It is a fight to the finish, and we know who wins. But let's get real. Most of us aren't really ready for the battle. What's wrong with God's army today? Well, I'm going to give you three things that I see are going on or not going on in the church today. Number one, most of the church, they don't even really know who the enemy is. We've been so ignorant that sometimes we don't even know who our enemy is. And that is a sad thing. The church today spends most of its energy, it seems like, fighting each other. You know, well, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. Well, you're of the devil. Well, are you part of this whatever denomination? Well, no. Well, then you're not welcome in this church. Do you believe that in once saved, always saved? No. Well, then you're of the devil. See, those kind of words, they thrill the enemy. Because the devil just sits back and lets us kill off each other, and then he takes the spoils for himself. Jesus said in Luke 11:17, this is page 2, number 1 of your insert. Jesus said, Luke 11:17, any kingdom divided against itself will be in ruin, and a house divided against itself will fall. Now, as the body of Christ will come together at some point, and there will be a glorious church before Jesus comes back, okay? But right now, if you look at the church of Jesus Christ, how welcome would I be in a United Methodist church? They believe in homosexual pastors, homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, you name it, they believe in it. And I go in there and start talking the way I talk, I would get what we call the left foot of fellowship as they kick me out the door. I would not be welcome. Now, if one of them comes in here, and here's the difference between liberalism and conservatism. If one of them comes in here, they're going to disagree. We're not going to fight with them. We're not going to argue with them. We're not going to get in debate with them. They're welcome to be here as long as they want to be here and leave when they get ready to leave. But we're not going to kick them out because they came from United Methodist Church and they believe all that stuff. Because how does faith come? By hearing. So if they get in here and they stay long enough, you know what? They'll hear some truth. And this is the Holy Spirit's job. It's our job to give them the word. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them and convince them and show them the right way, right? Is that right? Okay. So, but that's what's going on in the body of Christ. I mean, we're beat up here, we're beat up there, and we're beat up over here. And, you know, it's just wrong. We may have our differences, but we need to come together on what we believe. Now, unfortunately, you know, there's some that believe that, you know, several years ago, again, one of these groups, they wanted to take every reference to blood out of the Bible. See, I can't get in agreement with that. There's nothing for me to get in agreement on that, not because the Bible is very specific. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So if you take the blood out, what you got left? Nothing. Okay, y'all are looking at me like I just fell off the turnip truck. So the devil has taken these words, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And a house divided against itself will fall. So he's taken these words to try to destroy the body of Christ. He's saying, I'm going to divide their house. I'm going to get one side believing one thing and another side believing another thing. And I'm going to get them fighting one another. And eventually their kingdom will fall. So the first problem in the church is we don't know who the enemy really is. It's not each other. It's Satan is the enemy. The second thing is, we don't know what our weapons are as a whole, as a body. And it's number 2 on your insert. God, on whatever page I'm on, God wants a very highly organized and sophisticated army that he can depend on. He needs soldiers who are highly trained and skilled. He needs us to understand strategies and warfare and weapons of battle. So many Christians, they don't even know what their weapons are. Speaking in tongues is a powerful weapon, but yet most people think that speaking in tongues is just a sign of being Pentecostal. No, it is a powerful weapon to pull down strongholds. Also, the name of Jesus is another powerful weapon. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:10-11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That pretty much covers everywhere. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All principalities, powers, might, dominion are under his name. The name of Jesus is far above and highly exalted above everything. Another powerful weapon is the Bible. It's God's word. It's a sword. You don't play with swords, you fight with them. God doesn't want us thinking that the Bible is just a book. It is a weapon to defeat the enemy with. So number one, we don't know who the enemy really is. We don't know what our weapons are as a whole. And then number three, the problem is that, you know, the church fell asleep. About 70 years ago, the church just went in its four walls and stopped. And the devil's been able to take control of what seems like everything. We sit in our living rooms and we spend hours in front of a TV watching junk. And you can hardly turn on any program without seeing some kind of adultery or homosexuality or some other form of perversion. We saw, as I said earlier, an administration put in place this week that is the most liberal and perverted group of quote, leaders, unquote, this nation has ever seen. It's a time for us to wake up. It's a time for us to shake ourselves and realize that the devil has set us back. He's taken territory. He's taking ground. They should have been God's all the time. And the time has come to wake up and to fight back. And again, we don't fight back with weapons. I mean, you know, there's a time you do that, but we're not in a place in America where we need weapons. We need to just cast down and pull down these strongholds, as we talked about earlier. So the prophets of God are telling us to pray. Stand and watch the glory of God be revealed. In fact, I heard one of the prophets say this week that you don't need to pray anymore. That all the prayers have gone forth that needed to go forth to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Now we're supposed to celebrate victory, and praise Him for the victory. It's time to take back everything that was stolen from us and claim it back as God's property. So where do we start with that? Number four. We're not going to wake up and win by being religious. This is war. We have to make sacrifices. We have to get right in the middle of it. We have to get right in the heat of it. So where do we start? Page three, number one, by blowing the trumpet. We need to blow the trumpet and attack. The only thing that is going to get the devil's attention is blowing the trumpet and declaring war against him. Now, I need you to understand something. When I talk about attack and I talk about war and I talk about these things, these are spiritual battles. But here is the... And there's a time that you anguish in battle, spiritual battle. But then the breakthrough happens. So we do it in joy. We win in joy. We stay in peace and we celebrate the victory. You can't... You can't be in strife and think you're battling. Arguing with somebody is not battling the enemy. That's not going to accomplish anything. Quit trying to defend God and just start coming against the real enemy of God. Because God can handle His own problems. You know, I heard a preacher say last week, he was talking about how when America was founded, that in these towns that these battles were in, while George Washington was fighting on a national level, there were battles in these towns. And we don't think small like that anymore, because everything we see on TV and stuff is all national pretty much. But what would happen in those days is the pastors in that town would say, "General George Washington, you handle the national stuff. We'll take care of our town." And the pastors would put a militia together and they would go out to fight the British to protect their town. It was theirs. And so battle after battle after battle that were local, it was the pastors and the church that went and fought the physical battle. In that case, it was a physical battle because somebody was trying to, you were trying to free the country. But right now, we're not in a physical battle. That's not the battle we're in. We're in a spiritual battle. But it needs to be faced that same way. The pastors need to pull the people together and say, let's pray. Well, in this case, the prayer time has really passed. Now it's time for us to claim victory. It's time for us to speak what God says. It's time for us to rejoice. It's time for the praises of God to go forth with victory and peace. Do not fight with people over this. Because Satan, just like Satan wants to get the churches divided, he wants you to be divided with your friends, neighbors, and relatives so that there's strife and envy. Because what does it say? Where there's strife and envy, there is every evil work. You have to stay out of it. You just stay focused. Just love people. Be kind. Walk away. Ignore what they say. Just let them have their perverted rampage and let them do whatever they want to do. Walk away and walk in love and just deal with it spiritually. Because as long as you keep doing nothing except griping and complaining and whining about what you think God let happen to you and to America, the devil is gonna just beat your brains out with it, mentally, emotionally. The moment you get fed up of being oppressed, the moment you put your foot down, the moment you take up your spiritual weapons is the moment that he will flee. But the body of Christ needs training. What good is a soldier without training? You know, the army doesn't take a civilian, put an M4 machine gun in his hands and say, hey, go fight the enemy. Go get them, Tiger. That's just not how it works. Number two on your insert. That soldier has to go through training. And he's boot camp. It's not fun. It's not comfortable, but it is necessary. Well, God has his own boot camp. And he intended from day one for us to get training, because whether we've recognized it or not, God considers us soldiers. And we're going to war. And if you didn't hear last week's message about your calling, you need to go back and watch that message. It's important you understand what God says about your calling. But in God's army, if you do what God tells you to do, training is exciting, and training really doesn't take that long. But most of us, you know, we're people, we're so used to everything being done for us, so we end up wanting to whine and complain. You know, I don't want to keep studying the Word. I don't want to get up and go to church. I don't want to pray. I'm sick. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired. And they just do their thing. Training is vital. God is aiming to make an army out of us. And he can't afford to have a bunch of quitters as soldiers. We got to hang in there. Why? Because God says so, and he knows best. You know, you're going to have to do it sooner or later. So you might as well make up your mind make your mind now that you're just going to learn what God is trying to teach you in boot camp, so then you can graduate and get on to AIT. Well, what's AIT? Well, I'm glad you asked. AIT is Advanced Individual Training, number 3 on your insert. Sit with me, Advanced Individual training. This is where the body of Christ belongs. We ought to have graduated from boot camp and had a glorious ceremony and moved on to AIT, Advanced Individual Training. And here is where the Holy Spirit begins to make specialists out of us. Here is where he tells you what's your job, what's your calling. It is because now you can be trusted. You got a soldier's intellect. You take pride in the uniform. You're ready to go to war. But let's just get honest, you know. Sometimes it just seems like life is just too much. So what do you do then? 2 Timothy 3:1 says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The Amplified says this, times of great stress and trouble. And we're living in stressful times. And that's the reason so many people have lost their joy and are not experiencing something fresh in their life today. You got to understand. Do you know, I said this last week, but after the riots, and they're finding out day, have you noticed there's no coverage, really, of the riots going on in the West right now, in Portland and all those cities? CNN, CNBC, ABC, CBS, none of those, they're not even covering the riots now. They're all anti-government riots, just like when Trump was in. Of course, when Trump was in, you know, they were all Trump's fault. And they are destroying blocks right now. Last night, go look at the news. Well, don't look at those. You have to go to Fox or Newsmax or somebody that actually is reporting stuff. But of course, now nobody's going to cover it because Trump's not there to blame for it.
Yeah.
And so you understand all that's still going on. And they're finding out day after day after, after day after day that more and more and more of these people that actually instigated the riot on the Capitol, which was unconscionable. You don't go into the people's house. Every one of those people needs to be caught, and they need to go to jail, and you don't do that. I don't care how emotional you get, you do not do that. I don't care what side you're on. But they're finding out more and more and more of these people are these radical left people that are in Portland and stuff doing what they're doing right now. So don't worry about the impeachment. That's just going to go away. But this is what's going on. And what you need to do is understand that after the riots and the left weaponized it to turn it into where the people on the right are evil. Look what all these people on the right did. Like every person on the right is like those people. Church attendance immediately went down. CNN, who wasn't even hardly in the ratings at all on nighttime, primetime cable news, since the riots, has gone, and Fox was here, Newsmax was here, CNN, CNBC, and all those were way down here. Since the riots, and now all the people on the right are so evil, all the conservative voices are now down here, and CNN is way up here. Because everybody wants to hear about how evil America is. That's where we are. And so that's the reason so many people have lost their joy. And they're not experiencing something fresh today. They let one event in history, it was like throwing ice cubes. It was just unbelievable. And they're so beat down. And they can't even work up enough initiative to go seek God. They're so disappointed. And sometimes we just get tired. And life can just be too much. But you cannot give up. God is on your side. And Paul reminds us of this in Philippians 4:13, Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Page 4, number 1. Without Christ, there is no empowerment. We don't have the power to do what we need to do on our own. We need to come to the place where we say, God, I can't do it anymore. I can't do all these things that you've given me to do. I can't carry this load anymore. It's too big and it's too much. In Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus tells us how to handle this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, let me kind of, you can't do life alone. So leave that up for just a minute. Understand, in the day in which he lived, they didn't have tractors. They plowed fields using oxen. And the way they would train a new baby oxen is they would put mama here in the rig up that they would have, and they'd put the baby in one with no pressure on the baby. All the pressure's on mama. But of course, that baby pulling right alongside mama thinks that he's doing all the same work as mama's doing. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. But you're right beside mama. You get right beside Jesus, he'll do the heavy lifting. He'll do the heavy carrying. But we have to be beside him and carry. So it's easy. When we don't see, it says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't have to do the heavy lifting. We just got to be there with him and let him do the heavy lifting. You can't do life alone. We need Christ to work in us to become the mighty men and women that he wants us to be. God wants his people to experience a fresh infusion of the Holy Spirit. And Paul gave us this idea in Ephesians 5:18, where he says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Greek translation, it says this, to be filled and to keep on being filled. This is not a one-time deal. It is continual. You've got to get into a position where the Holy Spirit is infusing into you his strength and his mind and the ways and ideas of God. And all it takes is one God idea to change your life, change your finances, or change everything around you. But you have to be in a position to receive it. You have to be in a position to receive it. And guys, I'm not going to do the rest of the message back there. You can go to the last page with me. It's time we get ready for battle. It's time we prepare for warfare. But when you prepare for warfare, you also need to prepare for the greatest victories you have ever had. As we learned last week, we are called to battle, but we are predestined to win. It's time to let the champion inside of you arise. It's time we start, and it's time we stand for what is right, and it is time we understand that all power in heaven, on earth, under the earth, it belongs to the Lord. The Father gave it to him, and then he turned around and he gave it all to us. Do not be afraid to use the power that is in your hands, in your mouth, and available to you. And I think if you will start using the power, you will be so surprised and thrilled when you do. Number five, and I close with this. Your life will never be the same once you allow him to flow through you and do what he loves to do. And what does he love to do? He loves to do Mark 11:16, which says he confirms his word with signs following. That's what he loves to do. And you're going to see signs like you have never seen before. I believe. Now, well, Rocky, what if the prophet's wrong and therefore you spout all this and you're wrong? Okay. So? Well, I'll just call you all kinds of names and leave. Well, there's the door. I can't stop you. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to be concerned about that. What I'm concerned about is getting in line with where God is, whether it's popular or not. Amen. You know, the Word of Faith message has been out of popularity now for 20 years. But yet, Copeland preaches it, and Creflo Dollar preaches it, and Jerry Savelle preaches it, and you've got, you know, preachers that still preach it. But from a church, local church standpoint, it has been out of style for a long time. Well, we'll see how long it stays out of style. Because with the world we're living in and going into, I believe more and more people are going to turn back to the faith message. And those of us that have been here, we're going to be light years ahead. Amen. So I guess it comes down to, you know, are we... You know, last week I asked after the message, I said, are you willing to accept your calling? And everybody stood up. And you know, probably almost half the people that were here last week aren't even here today. Yet they stood up. So do you think their calling was to stay out of church? I doubt there was a calling. Rocky, you're being harsh. I'm not being harsh. I guess I've been listening to the prophets a lot the last 3 weeks, and they are very blunt. Maybe getting a little of that prophetic anointing on me. Because I'm not going to apologize. I care about you. I love you. I love your children. And I love this nation. And I'm not going to let it go to hell as long as I've got breath in my body.
Amen.
And you can agree or disagree. It's a free country still. So just take a breath. It's going to stay a free country. Not just at the moment. But this is why God created America. These are serious times, and these are serious messages. Again, if you weren't here last week, I strongly encourage you to go watch that message. And it's my prayer that you will take what has been said today, and if some of it rubs against you the wrong way, then just go pray in the Spirit. And if I've said something wrong, the Holy Spirit will tell you that, and He'll smooth it over where you might be mad at me. And if I said something right and you're out of line, well, He'll smooth that over and pull you along. But the thing we cannot afford to do is get offended and upset with each other. Because after a message like this, you better know that most of you are going to face somebody this week that's going to be a flaming liberal. And they're going to want to entangle you in the argument. God does not need your defense. Just say, brother, sister, Joe, Jill, whatever the name is, whatever. I love you, but I'm not going there with you. I'm not dancing this dance. Well, you're afraid. You'll know I'd win. That's what you want to think. That's fine. They will just do not allow yourself to be drawn into something that's going to take your joy and your peace. Stay excited about God. Stay excited about what God has planned for you. Can you put the first verse back up on the screen again, Jeremiah 29:11? Let's read it again together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. What are those plans? Tell me, what are those plans? Plans to prosper you and what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you what? Hope and a future. Just remember this. Latch onto this week. Let this be your mantra this week. God has a plan for me. He's got a future for me. He's got hopes for me. His plan is to prosper me. And just live on that and not on what people want to draw you into. Don't go there. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We'll do salvation in a minute. But I pretty much know everybody that's in this room today, and I think you're probably mostly saved, so, you know, at least 50% of you, or at least 50% saved, most of you. I'm kidding, you're all saved. There's no 50% saved. You either are or you aren't. But I want every head bowed, because I don't want anybody to see. So here's my question. This is between you, me, and God. If you've allowed everything that's going on in the world in the last 3 weeks to just consume you in a negative way, or allowed your faith to just be diminished, or discouraged you about who you are in Christ, I want to speak a word over you. If that's you, just lift a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I speak a word over this entire group of people and those watching and listening. And that word is this: peace, be still. You are God. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You are above everything else in this universe. Jesus, we know you sit at the right hand of the Father and that you have this under control. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you to touch every life, every heart that is here today and watching or listening. And just bring a peace upon us, a confidence upon us. Just put in us a confidence that is just supernatural, that you are in control and that everything will work out according to your will, whatever that may be. Just allow each person's heart to see into the Spirit and know that you have a hope and a future for each and every one of us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Still every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, this is not a time to be on your own. Or if you just need to rededicate your life to Him this morning and say, I just need to get serious with God. If that's you, just lift a hand. If you're watching or listening, just acknowledge this before God. We're going to say a simple prayer we can all say together. If you would, just repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I accept what Jesus did for me on Calvary. And I thank you for being willing to send him to die for me. And Jesus, I thank you for being willing to come and die for me, to redeem me back to your Father, to make me a joint heir with you, to make me a child of God. I receive what you did into my heart, into my life. You are my Lord, my Savior, my King, and I will serve you all the days of my life. It's in your name, Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, these are different days, different messages, same God, same Holy Spirit, and life is good. Don't for a minute get discouraged about anything. You know, I wish to God that my, you know, that what little ever piece of whatever little percentage of a cent was in those hundreds of millions of dollars sent for abortions around the world. You know, I just believe my money went in there. My money's in something prosperous. But God's got this. And God's got you. And he's got me. He's got our families. He's got our businesses. He's got our church. So just rest in that. Amen? And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister the word this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you give us words to speak that bring, I hope, both encouragement and a backbone. That we will not be afraid, but that we will walk in the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. I feel like a pastor in colonial America rallying the troops within his town or within his church. Honestly, Lord, I never thought I'd sign up for this assignment. But I thank you for the trust that you have in us as the body of Christ to take on the jobs that you give us. And I pray that we would stand tall and be the men and women of God that you need us and want us to be. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And I just speak a blessing over these people. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, I dispatch you into this week to go forth and protect every person, every family, every business, every child, every adult. Lead us, guide us, watch over us. I thank you, Lord God, for it in Jesus' name. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great, prosperous, anointed week, walking in the peace and the favor of God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.